more of that great music this morning. How many of you appreciated that? Aren't they great? Yes. Isn't that just good? Man, there's not a whole lot of other churches you can go to and get music like that. Only here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. And by the way, if you are a guest with us, this is the very first time that you've come here to Lake Hazel Bible Church, we want to say welcome. We're so grateful for the fact that you've chosen to be with us. Hopefully when you came in this morning, you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment, fill that out, drop it in the offering plate, or just leave it on the information table after the service, we would be more than happy to be able to have you do that so that we know that you were here with us. Hopefully you also received the bulletin, and so did the rest of you. How many of you have already looked at your bulletin? How many of you noticed the front of the bulletin? Three people. Okay. All right. Look at the logo. There's a 50-year banner now attached to the logo of the Lake Hazel Bible Church. So this is going to be on the front of the bulletin for the next year, through 2026, because this is the year that we celebrate Lake Hazel Bible Church's 50th anniversary as a church. Isn't that great? Isn't that really cool? So you need to, if you see Andrea, you need to say to Andrea, great job, because she's the one that put it together. But if she's not here, you can tell our anniversary team that that's really something really, really cool. All right, well, if you have a bulletin, open it up. Let's kind of take a look at what's going on around here this week and maybe beyond. And also some other things I need to bring to your attention. If you don't have a bulletin, make sure that you grab one on the way out, because there is important information there. So right after our morning worship service this morning, we have church family dinner. Take a deep breath. Can you smell it? Well, there's lots of soup. There's lots of sandwiches. There's lots of food. So we want to encourage you to stay. If you are a guest with us, we encourage you to stay and join us for church family dinner as well. Monday night, 7 p.m., I see ladies' Bible study is going to start. So Lisa's going to come and she's going to talk to you ladies about what ladies' Bible study is going to be all about. So come on up, Lisa, and you might have to use your teaching voice. Oh, okay, go ahead.
I have a teaching voice, but we'll use this. Ladies, we are getting back together for Bible study. Thank you for being gracious for me as I needed to take the fall off for adjustments. But we are jumping back in tomorrow night. We are resuming our study in the book of John. So we have gone through chapters 1 through 6 so far. Tomorrow night's going to be a catch-up night. So if you have not been attending Bible study, come. I'm going to get you all caught up so we're all on the same page. And then we'll jump into chapter 7 of the book of John later in January. Our text is the Word of God. So Amen. Bring your Bibles. We're not going to study books. We're studying the Word of God. So just bring your Bibles. If you were with us last year, bring your binder, because we'll continue our notes. If you were not with us last year, I'll get you all set up. That's what tomorrow night is all about, getting us all back on the same page. So if you have any questions, if you don't like to drive after dark and you are interested in getting a ride, we could maybe help with that. So catch me after church during dinner if you have any questions or need any assistance with that. But we'd love to see you here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. To discuss the Word of God, specifically the book of John. Thanks.
Thank you, Lisa. All right. So if you have any questions, if you have any concerns, see Lisa, you guys ladies are going to be starting resuming the book of John Tuesday night at 6:30. Men's Bible study is here at the church, and you'll never guess what they're studying. The book of John. But they're not as far along. As the ladies, they're not even out of chapter 1 yet. So men, if you can, be here at 6:30 p.m. For men's Bible study. If you have any questions, see Brian Ritchie. And Brian, maybe give a wave so that people know where you are. All right? Wednesday at 1 o'clock, we have Joy Bible Study. And we are not studying the book of John. We are studying systematic theology, and we're studying the portion of that on salvation, and hopefully we're going to wrap that up on Wednesday afternoon. But we'll see how that goes. Just like every Wednesday for Bible study, right? We just kind of take it as it comes. And then Thursday night we have Awana, and it is chocolate night. One of our kids' favorite nights. Yeah, we send them home loaded down with chocolate. And so it'll be a great thing. Yes, parents, grandparents, you are very welcome. We are more than happy to be able to do that. All right? So lots of other announcements in the bulletin. That's why it's important for you to be able to have one. I just want to give you an update. The other day, a prayer request went down for Evan Stancell, who was on deployment and was in a rollover accident, and he himself was injured. The people that were in the vehicle with him were not as injured as he is. Tomorrow, he's in Germany currently. Tomorrow, he is going to be going in for surgery. And so we need to keep Evan in our prayers. Okay, it's not major surgery, but when there's surgery, there's always a risk. Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter what the surgery is, there's always a risk. So I know that Charles and Lori, his parents, would be more than happy to be able to know that you'll be praying for Evan tomorrow. His wife, Brooke, is in Germany with him, and so she made it there safe, and so God is doing a lot of amazing things in this situation. But it doesn't mean that we stop praying, right? We just keep praying. Well, I'm so glad you're here. Are you glad you're here?
Yes.
Man, it's going to be hard to worship. It's going to be hard to be able to concentrate with the smells of the food coming this way. But you know what? You can do it, right? I don't know about me, but you can do it. All right? So you pray for me, and I'll just let you worship and praise God. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go, worship team.
Would you all stand with me for this first song?
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, be thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, thy true Son, thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. And be thou my shield and my sword for the fight. Be thou my dignity, be thou my my eye tower. Raise thou me heavenward, O power of my power. And riches I need not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. King of heaven, when victory is won, may I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Part of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O
go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, we're going to declare our hope today is in one thing. That's Jesus. Jesus alone.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Their sins by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply. Redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die. Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. My righteousness, oh. need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Oh, Jesus, you're my hope and save. Oh, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
We declare today that our hope is in Jesus and Jesus alone, that there is no one else who could offer us the help that we truly need. Lord, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the blood that he shed on that cross for us. Lord, may we hope and trust in you enough so that we would live for you. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I meet with you, and my soul sings out as your word throws doubt far away. I sing to you, and my heart cries holy, hallelujah, Father, you're near.
Sing this straight to him.
My hope is in you, Lord, all the day long. I won't be shaken by drought or storm. Peace that passes understanding is my song, and I sing, my hope is in you, Lord. I wait for you, and my soul finds rest. In my selfishness, you show me grace. I worship you, and my heart cries glory. Hallelujah, Father, you're here. My hope is in you, Lord, all the day long. I won't be shaken by drought or storm. A peace that passes understanding is my song, and I sing, my hope is in you, Lord. I will wait on you. You are my refuge. I will wait on you. You are my is in you, Lord, all the day long. I won't be shaken by drought or storm. My hope is in you, Lord, all the day long. I won't be shaken by drought or storm. The peace that passes understanding is my song, and I sing, my hope is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord.
Our usher is going to take this morning's offering as we sing one last song. How deep is our Father's love for us?
How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretched treasure. How great the pain of sin. Wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
You believe that with all your heart?
That his wounds on the cross paid a ransom.
Why?
Because you and I couldn't pay it ourselves. He had to go to that cross to be able to pay that ransom for us. I hope you believe that this morning.
All right, kids, come on down. We'll get you ready for children's church.
All right, let's pray.
Father, how deep your love is for us. Father, it is so vast. It is as vast as the universe. But yet, it reaches down to us. To us individually. And Father, we come to believe in what it is that you have done for us. And we receive that because not of anything that we've done, not of anything that we are, but because of your grace. We come in faith to believe in you for the promise of eternal life. And Father, we are so grateful that you loved us enough that you sent your Son to go to the cross to pay the debt of sin that we owed, because it was a debt that we could not pay. So Father, I pray that as we look into your word this morning, Father, that your Holy Spirit will bring it to our attention. And Father, that we just won't hear it, but that we will put it into practice into our lives as we leave this place in a little bit. Father, help us to hear from you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Have a great time. While they're being dismissed, turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 1. And many of you have said last week how you are excited about this new series of messages, studying the book of Genesis and going back to the beginning. And so this morning, hopefully you're packed and ready to go on a road trip. But the road trip isn't about us. It's the journey of Jesus through the 66 books of the Bible. Now, I'm not going to preach on all 66 this morning, so don't worry. Okay? We're just going to stay in Genesis. Okay? And although we do not see his name in every book, all 66 books point to him. Genesis to Deuteronomy is the foundation for Jesus. Joshua to Esther is the preparation for Jesus. Job to Song of Solomon is the longing for Jesus. Isaiah to Malachi is the expectation of Jesus. Matthew to John is the life and ministry of Jesus. Acts is the continued work and spreading of the fame of Jesus and the growth of his church. Romans to Jude is about living for Jesus. And Revelation is about the return, the reign here on earth, and the rule for eternity of Jesus. Isn't that good? Are you ready for that this morning, starting in Genesis? So this morning, we see Jesus in Genesis as the Word of God doing something, creating the heavens and the earth. Hopefully by now you've found Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Let's look at verse 1. In the beginning, not the beginning of God, by the way, in the beginning of the universe as we know it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. On Christmas Eve in 1968, in what was the most watched television broadcast at the time, the crew of Apollo 8 circled the dark side of the moon and headed toward home. As their tiny space capsule hurtled through space, they saw the glistening blue and white hues of Earth fill their window. And in that majestic moment, they were struck with awe and wonder. And at that moment, they did not quote Einstein, Shakespeare, or even Darwin. Taking turns, the three respectfully read Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 10, word for word, from a Bible supplied by the Gideons. Billions of people around the world heard the word of God echoing from outer space. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This image of earth was eventually turned into a stamp with a Bible verse on it saying, in the beginning, God. Now, the chances of us having a stamp with a Bible verse on it today are about the same as seeing a 10-cent stamp again. But like these three Apollo astronauts, the wonder of creation should forever change the way we see the Creator. Would you agree with that? So last Sunday, we started this series by establishing this premise. To move forward in our spiritual life, we must go back to the beginning. And where's the beginning? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The first sentence of this first chapter of the first book of the Bible is simple and straightforward, yet complex and compelling. It is easy to understand, and yet its meaning is inexhaustible. It is both majestic and mysterious. It is factual, and yet something we believe through faith. Now, the opening verse of the Bible is controversial in our culture today. Skeptics, atheists, evolutionists, unbelievers, and doubters of all varieties have taken aim against the beginning chapters of Genesis. So what should our response be? Let me boil it down for you. Our response should be this. Genesis either explains it all or it does not explain it at all. You might want to write that down. Genesis either explains it all or it does not explain it at all. You either believe it or you do not. And if you don't, you cannot believe anything else in the Bible. If you believe it, you can believe everything else in the Bible. You can believe everything that the Bible teaches. And I believe there are two standards of truth in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Here's the first standard. God is eternal. God is eternal. We're not given any arguments for the existence of God. The author of Genesis, which is Moses, doesn't bother to introduce us to God. He just says, in the beginning, God. Right? The fact of his being is simply stated in an uncompromising way. In the beginning, God. God's word is clear that God exists, and there is evidence of his existence everywhere. Has Creator God existed, you ready for this? Before his creation. Everything else in the universe has a beginning or a cause, except for God. God alone has always been, is always, and will always be. He alone is self-existent. God all has always been and will always be. Now, I don't know if you realize this or not, but God gave humankind time, and yet God himself is before time because he is timeless. That's what verse 1 says. In the beginning. Who? God. And the Hebrew word beginning is bereshit, which means best, chief, highest, or most excellent. And this word is connected to the reign of a king, which is interesting because this is how most Jewish prayers begin. Blessed are you, God, our God, King of the universe. And it's interesting that the first letters of the Hebrew word for beginning form the basis of the Hebrew word bara, B-A-R-A, which means, you ready for this? To create. Now, as we looked at last week, the name for God is Elohim, and it is in the plural. Anytime that you are reading in the Hebrew and you see the two letters, I am, at the end of a word, that designates in Hebrew that it is plural, which is evidence here in Genesis 1:1, and any other time that we read the name Elohim, that it's speaking of the Trinity. The plural God created, which is in the singular, and shows that God is one, and yet he eternally exists in three distinct persons. The Bible teaches that very, very clearly. Elohim is intensive, which indicates God's fullness of power. The beginning letters, E-L, signify that he is the strong God. He is majestic and mighty. And this name, Elohim, is used in other places in God's word. Psalm 47, verse 8, God, Elohim, reigns over the nations. God, Elohim, sits on his holy throne. Psalm 50, verse 6, the heavens declare his righteousness, for God, Elohim, himself is judge. Psalm 86, verse 12, I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, Elohim, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. Hosea chapter 13, verse 4, you know no God, Elohim, but me, and besides me, there is no Savior. God had to exist before the beginning of time, which means that God himself is outside of time. Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are Elohim, God. Wow. So God is eternal. Here's the second standard found in chapter 1, verse 1. God created everything.
The second part of verse 1 is so profound and yet simple enough for everyone to understand. God created the heavens and the earth. You know, this is also stated in Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 6. You are the Lord, you alone. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. And you preserve all of them, and the host of heaven worships you. That's pretty encompassing, isn't it? What is it saying? God, you've created everything. There isn't anything that exists. There isn't anything that we know and can experience in this universe that God himself did not create. Not a thing. So, if that's the truth, then it couldn't have happened any other way, could it? It can't be reasoned away. It can't be theorized. If it's true that God created everything, then there's no other answer. There's no other explanation. There's no other thing needed for us to be able to understand. And if those who question how this universe came to be, if they would only read Genesis chapter 1 and just as far as verse 1, they would have an understanding. The sad thing is, though, their humanness gets in the way. Their intelligence, or lack thereof, gets in the way. I heard it said a long time ago, and I don't know how true this is, but I heard it said a long time ago, that it takes an evolutionist a whole lot more faith to believe in evolution than it does a believer to believe in creation. I don't know about that. I just know one thing. The Bible says in the very first verse of the Bible, in the very first book of the Bible, in the very first chapter of the Bible, that God created the heavens and the earth. That's all I need. That's the only explanation I need. I believe it. I believe it with my whole heart. So somebody comes and asks me, how in the world how in the world does everything that we see, everything that we know in this world and beyond, how did it all come to be? I have a very simple answer. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now they may look at me like, what planet are you from? And I don't care. I really don't care. Because God said, this is the way that it was. This is the way that it is. And you know what? If God said it, and he said it over and over and over multiple times in his word, good enough for me. Not only in the Old Testament, but also as we're going to see later on in some of our study of the book of Genesis, especially chapter 1. It also says it in the New Testament. So this word created in God's word is only used when God has his subject. So if it's only used in God's word with God as the subject, that means what? Nothing or no one outside of God created all that creation is. There's no other explanation. Now you might be saying, wow, Pastor Sam, that's pretty simple. You are right. And God made it simple. Why? Because we're simple-minded people. And he wanted us to be able to understand. It's not a theory. It is a fact. It is not a theory. It is a truth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And this word created means to create something new. And it is often tied to the Latin phrase ex nihilo. Now, you might have heard that phrase, which means out of nothing or from nothing. And as we're going to see in the rest of chapter 1, God simply spoke, and it was so. He created the world. He created the universe as we know it with his word. In fact, the New Testament backs that up. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that were visible. Wow. God spoke, and it happened. There's only one part of God's creation that he did not speak into existence. You know what that is? Us, human beings.
He created human beings by taking his hands and forming them in the dust of the ground. And then when he was done using his hands to be able to form them, and we're going to see this in greater detail, he breathed into their nostrils. He created them with nostrils. He breathed into them the what? Breath of life. He didn't speak human beings into existence. He labored with his hands and then breathed his very own breath into us. And you know what that means? We're going to look at this more in greater detail. That means we are the pinnacle of his creation. We're not like the rest of his creation. So when somebody says, you hear them say, oh, you know what, as human beings, we're just part of the animal kingdom. No, we're not. No, we're not. God spoke and animals came into existence. Human beings, God took his hands and he formed us. And then he breathed into us, what? The breath of life. Wow. But he created out of nothing creation. And as we will see in the rest of chapter 1, God simply spoke, and it was so. He created the world with his word. In the beginning, God made everything. The heavens and the earth include the invisible as well as the visible realms, unseen and seen. The universe is filled with immense variety, beauty, exactness, power, order, and mystery. Elohim created the entirety of the universe. There is nothing made that he has not made. He birthed beauty out of barrenness. He created everything with order and purpose. Think about the amazing balance God has put in creation. Our planet, this planet Earth, is perfectly designed to sustain life. If it were closer to the sun, we would burn up. If it were farther from the sun, we would freeze. If the Earth were a few miles smaller in diameter, the density of its atmosphere would be so thin that the Earth would not retain enough heat to sustain animal or human life. Can that just happen? No, there had to be what? A God. A God of order, not a God of confusion. The Earth's waters would freeze to such a depth that all other forms of life would perish. But if Earth were a few miles larger in diameter, the air would become so dense that so too much heat would be absorbed, resulting in the death of all living things. Are you alive this morning? Some of you are sitting here with your eyes closed. I'm a little bit concerned, but right? Some of us have existed on this planet for a long time. How can that happen? Because that's the way God ordered it. That's the way God created it. This planet to sustain life was not happenstance. It was not an accident. It didn't happen by an explosion of cosmic gases. And by the way, where did the cosmic gases come from? You realize they have no answer for that? If there are cosmic gases, and I believe there are, those cosmic gases were put there by God. When? In the beginning. Because what? He created everything. God is the central subject of the first sentence in the Bible and is referred to by name 31 times in the 31 verses of Genesis chapter 1. Now remember, if God says it once, it's important. If he says it multiple times, it's really important. So the book of Genesis has a big beginning because God is a big God. Listen to Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. What is Romans chapter 1 saying? We can believe in the existence of God and understand many of our Creator's attributes simply by looking at the creation he created. And we are without excuse should we ever say there's no evidence for the existence of God. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Folks, the sky is shouting his glory, and the very heavens themselves proclaim his holy handiwork. A few years ago, there were some stunning images sent back from the James Webb Space Telescope, and this is what was discovered. There are a trillion galaxies out there. How many of you know how many zeros are in a trillion? Some of you do. I don't. I don't really care. But there are a trillion galaxies out there, each encompassing an average of 100 to 200 billion stars. Our home, this pale blue dot called Earth, has not stopped shrinking in comparative stature. Now it is found to be a mid-sized planet orbiting a mid-ranked star in one galaxy out of a trillion. Whoa. How vast is the universe? This God-created universe is enormous. So what does that mean? If you could travel at the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second, anybody ever travel that fast? Yeah, you have not. It may seem like that. If you could travel at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second, it would take you 8 minutes to get from the Earth to the sun. I don't know why you would want to go to the sun, because anywhere you get close to the sun, you're going to burn up. To go from the sun to the center of the Milky Way galaxy, in which our Earth is a part of, would take about 33,000 years. Traveling at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second. The Milky Way belongs to a group of some 20 galaxies known as the Local Group. To cross the Local Group, you would have to travel at the speed of light for 2 million years. The Local Group belongs to the Virgo Cluster, which would take you 500 million light years to cross. Crossing the entire known universe would take you about 20 billion light years. How many of you have that time? Okay, so what do we do with all of this? Well, all of this should lead us to worship as we consider the wonderful work of God's creative genius. God is beyond and behind his beautiful creation. Now, when I say behind, that means he's the one who caused it. Let us look to the heavens and earth and be humbled. And let's also look at the cross, where we see God's holiness, his grace, his mercy, and his love on display, even as we look into creation. Now, what is it that I want you to take away with you this morning? Let me give you three things. God's action of creation should help us see God's holiness. God's action of creation should humble us. So I just gave you statistics about the vastness of the universe. How many of you still think you're the center of the universe? Got news for you. You ain't. I ain't. It is so vast. God, in his work of creation, created it so vast. And that ought to humble us. We're not the center of the universe. And here's the last thing. God's action of creation should lead us to worship him. So as we end our service this morning with a closing song, let's worship him. Because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Father, thank you so much for showing us this morning the vastness of your creation, the power and the glory of your handiwork. And Father, as we see that, we see your holiness. As we see that, we are humbled because we're not the center of the universe. And Father, we want to worship you because in the beginning, you God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.
Would you all stand with me for this last song?
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand.